Good morning, everyone. We are in our second Sunday of Advent, focusing on the light that comes into our dark times. And I just wanted to make a comment or two as we begin that, especially today, but I expect in the next couple of weeks, me and Dan, or Dan and I, are not going to be saying from here anything particularly new, shocking, or creative. We're not looking for bells and whistles. We're not looking for wild, brand new insights. We're basically looking to tell the old story again, just in as plain as language as possible, using the scriptures as our basis, because it's really good for us to go through the years and hear the same stories over and over again. And in this particular year, I think we need it more than ever. And so we want to just basically tell the story in words that we all know and familiar with, but with the prayer and with the hope that they will touch us again and will encourage us and give us hope and give us light in these dark times. So let me pray to that end. Lord, help us as we open your word this morning to be spoken to by you, to be encouraged, to be given that which we need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to look at Psalms 42 and 43, and the reason why we're looking at both of them is because most likely that was originally one psalm. As you read through the text, you will hear some words and phrases that keep repeating themselves in both psalms. So I've chosen to read the Psalm 42 and 43, and I'm going to read from a different translation today. It is the translation that will be projected on the screen. It's from a translation done by Old Testament scholar Robert Alter, who's been a favorite of mine through the years. He's just actually come out with a whole new translation of the Old Testament along with commentary. If you're interested in something like that, I highly recommend it to you. But this is the translation of Psalm 42 and 43 by Robert Alter. It should appear on your screen. There we go. As a deer yearns for streams of water, so I yearn for you, O God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and see the presence of God? My tears become my bread day and night, as they say to me all day long, where is your God? These do I recall and pour out my heart when I would step in the procession, when I would march to the house of God with the sound of glad song of the celebrant throng. How bent my being! How you moan for me! Hope in God, for yet I will acclaim him for his rescuing presence. My God, my being is bent for my plight. Therefore do I recall you from Jordan land, from the Hermons and Mount Mizar. Deep unto deep calls out at the sound of your channels. All your breakers and waves have surged over me. By day the Lord ordains his kindness, and by night his song is with me, prayer to the God of my life. I would say to the God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why in gloom do I go, hard pressed by the foe? With murder in my bones, my enemies revile me when they say to me all day long, where is your God? How bent my being! How you moan for me! Hope in God, for yet will I acclaim him, his rescuing presence and my God. Grant me justice, O God. Take up my case against a faithless nation, from a man of deceit and wrong. Free me. For you, O God, my stronghold, why should you neglect me? Why should I go in gloom, pressed by the foe? Send forth your light and your truth. It is they that will guide me. They will bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling place. And let me come to God's altar, to God, my keenest joy. Let me acclaim you with the lyre, O God, my God. How bent my being! How you moan for me! Hope in God, for yet will I acclaim him, his rescuing presence and my God. How bent my being, how you moan for me. Alter uses this word bent instead of the word downcast, which you may know if you're familiar with either of these songs from almost any of the versions that you find. This idea of being bent over, this idea of having a weight on your shoulders. And why are we so bent? Well, the Psalms, in these Psalms, there's all kinds of words and reasons that are given. My tears are my bread day and night. As people ask me constantly, where is your God? If you had a God, and if your God was like you say he is, where is he? Because if he were here, things would be different. My being is bent for my plight. Grant me justice, O God. Take up my case against a faithless nation. Take up my case from a man of deceit. And from that man of deceit and wrong, free me. The psalmist is bent down by those who rule over him, by his enemies who have power over him. God, why should you neglect me? He has the feeling that God has left him, that all the promises are null and void. Why should I go in gloom, pressed by the foe? And as I've said many times over the last months, I think we in our congregation here, and of course our communities and in our countries, can probably feel these words more this year than at any time in our life. The tears, the gloom, the looking for justice, the plight in which we find ourselves. And as we are looking at those things and feeling them, the encouragement is to actually feel them. The Psalms are full of David and the other writers actually feeling what's happening to them. Some of you know that my oldest daughter has had a very rough year in a number of ways. I won't go into details about that, but she's just had a very, very rough year. And this week she wrote on Facebook, "A friend reminded me that sometimes the best self-care is to give yourself a moment and permission to feel what you are feeling. We care for ourselves by stopping for a moment, breathing, being present with our bodies and emotions, acknowledging what is, and allowing it to wash through." Are you taking the time to feel, to experience what's happening? That is a piece of self-care. And the psalmist leads us in this. He doesn't hide anything. He's right out front with it. I'm distraught. I'm in distress. Things are really bad. I'm bent over. And in that being bent over, feeling that weight on your shoulders, there's this longing. As a deer pants for the streams of water, so I yearn for you, my God. My whole being thirsts for God. Let me come to God's altar, he says later, to God my keenest joy. As altar so beautifully translated, my keenest joy. And this is very cliche, I know. And preachers say it every Christmas, that's what we're supposed to do. But I want to encourage you this Christmas, especially if you feel extra bent down, to not let yourself settle for the baubles and the things and the shiny objects, thinking that if I spend enough money, if I give or receive enough presents, if I put enough lights up, if I drink enough, if I binge enough on my Netflix or whatever it is, that's going to satisfy my deepest longing. The Bible is real clear, whether we know it or not, our deepest longing is for God. And that's not an easy thing to discover, and it's not an easy thing to bring out in the practical life. But it's the truth that the Bible presents. Our deepest longing, your longing for those baubles, is really at its root a longing for the living God. As a deer pants for streams of water, O God, my keenest joy, let me find you. I long for you. And then in these Psalms, we see pretty clearly that the goal is the presence of God. As a deer pants for streams of water, so I yearn for you, O God. Send forth your light and your truth. It is they that guide me. They will bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. And of course, you know, in the Old Testament, this holy mountain, this dwelling place, is Jerusalem on top of this hill. And there's the temple of God, and that's where God dwells. If you want to see God, if you meet him, that's where you actually physically go. And there he is. I long for his rescuing presence. How bent my being, how you moan for me. Hope in God, for yet I will acclaim him. His rescuing presence. What do I want fundamentally? It's interesting to me that rescue actually is not the big thing here. The psalm mentions rescuing, but that's not the big thing. The big thing is, whatever happens, whatever my circumstances are, for me personally, for our community, for our country, for our world, it's God's presence for which we long. And I want to encourage you this morning to try to look around you in these weeks of Advent, in the darkness of the season as we wait for Christmas. Try to look around you for where the presence of God is. I'm reading a book called The Great Spiritual Migration, How the World's Largest Religion is Seeking a Better Way to Be Christian. It's by Brian D. McLaren. It's one of his latest books. And at the end of chapter 3, he quotes Richard Rohr and talks about what he calls an alternative orthodoxy. And that alternative orthodoxy involves paying attention. Should come a quote on the screen, I think. Yeah. Paying attention to different things. In the days to come, pay attention. Think of something you usually pay attention to and practice paying attention to different things instead. When you look at another person, can you somehow see something of the presence of God in them, in a smile, in a gesture, in something that they do or say? If you're sitting in your car, can you, instead of watching the road, well, you got to watch the road a little bit, but can you take in the beauty of the sunshine and the beauty of the trees that you go by or the nature that you see? As you listen to Christmas carols and you hear them in the background all the time, could you take a moment to stop, and assuming it's not Jingle Bells, which may have some good stuff in it, I can't come up with that right now, the way, but I won't discount that as a possibility. But can you listen and feel the presence of God? I was somewhere yesterday or the day before, and the carols are playing, and let them go in the back. You just don't hear them anymore. Can you maybe stop for a moment and say, wait a minute, this is the presence of God coming into this Wawa, or coming into this Kohl's, or this Walmart, or wherever it is that you are? Can you look with different eyes? It's not easy. We're so used to the status quo. Can you look for different eyes and say, where do I see in what's before me right now and what I'm experiencing? Where can I find the presence of God. That's what the psalmist yearned for. And that's really what all of us yearn for as we really go deep down into our hearts. And then there's this wonderful verse, it's verse 3, where the psalmist says, "Send forth your light and your truth. It is they will bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling place. Send forth your light. It's your light that will guide me in these dark days of Advent, in these dark days of being bent, in these dark, dark days of sorrow and plight and distress and injustice." And of course, you know where we go with this. We go to the New Testament. We go to Matthew 4, where it says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a..." And that light is Jesus. He was born in that manger. And when he grew up and when he went about his ministry, he said to the people around him, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This presence of God, and here it becomes really concrete, that the psalmist is talking about, changes from being something that's in Jerusalem, or in our world, changes from something that's just kind of a spirituality, and it becomes real. It becomes real in Jesus, in the body and in the person of Jesus Christ. God's presence, Emmanuel, we just sang about, Emmanuel, God with us, this light of the world that comes down and reaches into our life and touches us, and we can't see him, of course, because he's gone, but we can read about him, we can feel him, we can hear him, we can know him, we can be in relationship to him. You can put up the last image, Rick. Thank you. This Advent season, we await, we'll send. We beg him to send it as we are bent down in this time. We know that light, that Jesus, will bring us into God's presence. And it's not far off. Jesus says the kingdom of God is near. That doesn't mean in terms of time. It means in terms of actual space. The kingdom of God is near. It's real. It's physical. It's present. And as we go into time of celebration of communion, we touch and we feel and we taste and we experience in a physical way this Jesus Christ, his broken body and his shed blood. And we experience as we do this, and this is the connection with the psalm, we experience his presence. Show yourself, reveal yourself to us. And he does it in these physical elements. And so I want to invite you this morning to come to this table as maybe the first step of seeing things, of paying attention to different things. The first step of rooting yourself again in Jesus, in the light of the world, in the darkness, and in the sorrow, in the distress, in the being bent over of your life. And maybe you're weak, and maybe you're doubting, maybe you're sinful, maybe you feel far away, maybe life is overtaking you. Maybe it's busyness is overtaking you. Maybe circumstances are overtaking you in different ways. Maybe tragedies have happened. Maybe there's illness. Maybe there's brokenness. Maybe there's distance from one another. Maybe there's real sin. In spite of all those things, however weak you may feel this morning, I want to encourage you to come. There is no other place where we can come into the presence of God and have His light and His truth shine upon us and give us Himself. Not the baubles of Christmas, not the wealth and fame and fortune of the world, but Himself, the God who made the heavens and the earth, and who loves us, and who loves you, and who has decided to come and shine with His light into your bentness and your darkness of today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word, which if you had not revealed it to us, we probably wouldn't know it. We'd be in the darkness, we'd be bent people. And we'd be following the lusts of the flesh and the baubles of Christmas. Thank you that you redirect us. You help us pay attention to different things. And would you do that for us this morning as we continue with this sacrament of communion? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.